Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast. We are three women new to the world of professional wrestling, and what we can't figure out from context, we're making up as we go. We have friends who are better at learning. They're not on this podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Anne.
I'm Leah.
And today we'll be discussing the week at AEW All Elite Wrestling. So let's start off by talking about this week. AEW debuted their new Monday night show, AEW Elevation. So we've deviated from our D names, which is exciting.
It's exciting, but it's also a little bit confusing because what's the theme of all these names of all this content? It's like Dark, Dynamite. I was like, sure, this is what we're doing. And now it's like Elevation. It's just like, okay, so it's just like a random word. Cool.
A random powerful word.
Well, sure. Obviously, it has to be a powerful word. Is dark a powerful word? I guess.
Well, yeah, I think kind of. Dark.
I guess.
Well, it's also like, I don't know if you guys might already know this and I'm just stupid, but I found out last week that it's actually just a wrestling word.
I did find that out when I was in the Wikipedia glossary. Yeah.
Found that out just now. So thank you for educating me.
Yeah, it means like when people wrestle things that aren't usually like filmed, they're trying somebody out to see if they're going to be a good wrestler.
Oh,
it's a dark match, but these are actually filmed. So
they are filmed, but they're also kind of the tryout matches. So that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. And I think it is, I actually could be wrong about this, but I'll just say it anyway. I think it is that it's like, is basically what they're doing, where it's like, if they film too much content and some of it just can't be aired, that would be a dark match regardless of the, you know, purpose basically. Yeah. So,
cool.
But they have, it's a lot of dark matches on AEW.
Look at you guys, little wrestling experts.
I mean, learn.
If Elevation is a wrestling word, I don't know it. So
now I feel like it probably is, but yeah.
Well, I guess we won't look it up during the podcast, but I guess we could have looked it up before the podcast and didn't. And
it's no facts.
No facts, only feelings. And my feeling is, I actually think Elevation is kind of a fun title, but I agree that there is a little bit of a, like, we're stuck between two, like, sets of, like, Mac names, where it's like we've gone from the Cats to the whatever they're on now, Rhodes, Catalina Places. Does anyone know what I'm saying?
for Apple.
Oh, sure.
The Apple Mac computers.
In this out of context, it was just like, I have no idea what word you just said.
Yeah, I just heard cat names and I was like for pets.
Like
AEW Big Cat.
It's actually shocking that that's not already a wrestler.
Actually, it is. Well, maybe it is.
We don't know. How would we have any idea?
You're right. There's just no way to find out.
30 to 40 years of continuous continuity in wrestling the show, and you know, Big Cat could be in there.
Big Cat's probably in there somewhere. Well, what did everybody think about AEW Elevation? What's bringing to the mix?
I have never seen Paul White before, so I don't have years of knowing who he is. So only judging on commentary, I kind of was disappointed. He has quite a calm and not exciting voice, and I've been enjoying
calm and dare I say not exciting.
Leah wanted to get pumped up.
Well, Taz and Excalibur on Dark make me so happy. Like, half the time I'm listening to their commentary and like for matches that I do not give a shit about, just because I like them going back and forth so much. And maybe Paul and who was on with him? Tony Schiavone. Right. Maybe they'll develop a camaraderie, but I was just kind of like, all right, well, you're a little bit of a snooze fest, my bud.
Yeah, I kind of feel like over time they might get it, because it is like your first week, you're kind of figuring things out for sure.
For sure. I actually kind of liked Paul White, not in an over the top way. Like, I'm just like, I'm so fucking jazzed that Paul White showed up. But I liked that Paul White did a really serious delivery of his information about, like, they're always doing basically just their kayfabe, like, oh, and that one has got to be rough, and that, yeah, that's going to take him out. And you're just like, well, I mean, it hurt probably, but of course it's all scripted. But Paul White just really delivered really seriously in the first match of Elevation with Jungle Boy, where he was doing this whole bit where he was like, and that, you know, when they're delivering those slaps to each other's chests, that's like, and they're making it difficult for each other to breathe, and that's really going to impact the match. And I was like, well, I don't think it will, but I just love how serious you sound about it. And I thought he was bringing kind of a fun, like, serious sports commentary energy to the table, which I kind of enjoyed.
Yeah. That's very fun. One other highlight for me was Tony Khan getting to come out and do a little kayfabe TV bit with Kenny Omega, and he really, you know, he was giving it his all, yelling at him, just his whole little heart in it.
He was very upset. His voice went up like 3 or 4 octaves. He was wheedly standing there, just
and he was kind of wearing like his ill-fitting like boy jeans, and his hair was like, yeah. I love, yeah, Tony Khan's hair, his curls, but like, yes, they were a little all over the place, and I was just like, look at this little dweeb.
The excitement frizzed him up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It all goes into his hair, so it's good stuff.
I love Tony Khan.
Do you think that Tony Khan himself decided that he did actually want to be in the show, or do you think that somebody convinced him that actually it would be fun if he came out?
It's such a great question, because I heard him on Renee's podcast, and she was like, are you going to be on TV like all the time? Because he'd been on, I think, for Brody's send-off show, and that was not a good way to phrase that, but the tribute show. And he was like, oh, no, I don't, like, I'm not a TV guy, I don't want to be on there all the time, like, whatever. But he also, like, loves to talk, so,
yeah. I wonder if he's reconsidering because of the reception he gets, because, I mean, if they don't overuse him, I would like to see him every now and then. I do very much enjoy him.
Like, every other week, get him some owner stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think you have to be a little careful, like, you don't want him, like, clearly being the managerial hand in the machine, but it's kind of fun now and then, because I like Tony Khan. I think he's funny.
Yeah, there was a moment a while ago now where Britt was doing the waiting room, and all of a sudden Justin Roberts announced that she was gonna fight Thunder Rosa, and she stomped her feet and was like, Tony said that I didn't have to do it, and then she like ran backstage yelling Tony's name, and I was like, this is the exact way I want Tony to be used. That's fantastic.
Like, big dad energy. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I agree. I'd like to see a little more of that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of Thunder Rosa, good seg, Leah.
Love a good seg.
A word I simply can't say and won't learn to. The big main event of Dynamite this week, Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, first women's main event, right? She said nervously. Mm-hmm.
But it's correct.
Yeah,
it's her story. It's her story.
Ladies, it's her story. And it's her story. It was sick.
It was bananas. I was kind of nervous for them going in as like the first women's main event, like, because I was like, I don't know, people are dicks about the women sometimes, but like, holy crap, that was
amazing.
So it was good.
Out of control.
It was so horny. Like, every single moment, I was losing it.
I know.
Both of them were so good.
They went straight for kissing pose, which I love to see at the beginning of the match. Yeah. They set it up. They say,
that's how you show you're serious, you know?
Absolutely. Exactly. If I don't see kissing pose out of you, I don't know why you're here.
Do you even care if you're not standing close enough to kiss? Like, do I even believe you want to be in this match?
No. Correct.
Correct.
Grow up. Yeah, and then there was so much blood. I don't know. I know some of our friends like get very cringy when there's blood, and I feel very bloodthirsty because it's like,
I do.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And I will say I especially loved it with the women because it was very horny. I was horny, but it was unpretty, which I love. They looked crazy.
Yeah. But I love that both of them bled in very different ways. Like, Britt looked deranged. Britt looked feral.
For sure.
And she knew it. And she knew it when she was looking at the camera, grinning at the camera.
She knew it. Yeah. But then Rosa with the face paint, the way that the blood was dripping down the face paint, I was like, that's art. That is art. And I like to look at it.
It's beautiful. Absolutely. Her face paint is so cool anyway. Oh, but that was crazy. And it just felt so out of control because there was so much of it, even though I know they did it on purpose, obviously, unlike what's his name, 10 on Dark, who was clearly bleeding, not on purpose, but it was just crazy. And then the thumbtack stuff, it was like, hell yeah. Like, there were so many of them.
Well, we were talking about how our beloved son, Chuck Taylor, was like, he and Trent did a thumbtack match and they got the thumbtacks and they were like, this is definitely going to be enough thumbtacks, and it absolutely wasn't. They were like, you need so many more thumbtacks than you think you do. They got enough thumbtacks.
They definitely did. Definitely did.
Hearing that story from Chuck Taylor too, it made me like feel a little better about the thumbtacks, because it's like they were so disappointed that not enough thumbtacks got stuck in them and stuff. And so it's like, I know that these people are like, they're maniacs. They want it so bad. Right. They're going to be upset if the thumbtacks don't go in well enough. And I don't think it probably hurts that bad. I don't know.
I guess when you have a lot of other stuff going on, probably in the moment it doesn't. I would imagine that afterwards it's kind of like, wow, seems like my back is a little.
Yeah. That video they released of Britt getting the tacks taken out of her and getting cleaned up. Yeah. She definitely seemed to think like they hurt getting cleaned up. But there was a point early on in that video where the medic or whoever it was like, let's take you out back so we can get the tacks out of you. And she was like, oh, I think I shook them off. And then she turned around and it was clearly obvious that she had not.
That's so crazy. I assume it's just the Jaguars team doctor that was doing all of that.
Well, I assume the Jaguars team doctor is doing pretty much all of it. Yeah. I love that guy's got two jobs. Good for him. It's called a hustle.
Stimulating that economy, baby.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but it was such a good match, so I was just like so psyched, and they've gotten such a good reaction today too. I feel so proud of them. Yeah, it was heck yeah.
Meltzer said that it was one of the top three women's matches of all time, and I was really happy to hear that.
U.S. women's matches.
U.S. women's. True. Yes.
Yeah. Right. I was reading a long thread about it on Twitter.com. Never heard of it. So apparently, he was like, Japanese women's wrestling is where it's at, I believe. Don't fact check me, but top three U.S. women's matches.
Yeah.
And it was just like non fucking stop. I mean, start to finish. Yeah. You're getting the props out. I have to say, one of the commentators made a comment about, like, they were just like making some joke comment about Reba not having set up tables before. I don't know. But I was like, they did a really good job with those tables, actually, because when during the Shaq match, I don't even remember who was setting up the tables, but I was like, this is taking a long time. Like, we're really kind of getting into the table situation. I thought the props were coming out clean. Bridge throwing those chairs into the ring was the hottest thing I've ever seen.
And on the AEW Instagram, too, there was, like, a different angle from one of the guns, you know, shooting, like, on his phone, her going through the table. And, like, it looked so good from the other side, too. I was like, that is, like, some perfect, I want to say prop work. I don't think that's right. But
I like it. You know what? We can make our own terms. We're talking about it our way. Beautiful prop work from the theater girls over at AEW.
Exactly. Those little theater jacks did an amazing job with the props.
I will also say, I think it's unhinged that on TNT television that anybody can just tune into and watch these, and many of the wrestlers have been doing it. I guess they've probably always been doing it, but I've just noticed it recently. The part where Thunder Rosa just bit Britt Baker's face, I was like, y'all are up to some shit.
It's crazy. It's honestly it's crazy that any of this is on television. Like, little children watch these shows, you know, like 11 and 12 year olds are a big part of the audience, and it's just like, there's two women bleeding all over and throwing each other into thumbtacks, and it's for real. It's not like an effect. Those thumbtacks are really inside them.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's how you teach little boys about feminism.
Honestly, yeah.
I think that might be right, yeah. I did. I also liked that they cut to Jade Cargill watching from the stands with that smile on her face, which actually did set me on fire. Like, she just looked... it was a great moment of, like, her face was like, you guys are doing it, and I'm going to do it, too. I'm coming for you. And that they had Sheeta in the back watching, too. And I was like, that is good. Show me the women gunning for each other.
I know. Seriously. I'm excited for the women's division to get, like, more attention and more storylines, because I really, like, this match was definitely, like, built up enough, but, like, a lot of the times they just, like, have a match and they don't have a lot of, like, story behind it, so I'm very stoked.
Well, I mean, that might be another good thing about Elevation, because, it was actually Dark this time. Did you see on Dark when Layla Hirsch was fighting and she came off the side and started yelling at Vicky Guerrero, and Vicky Guerrero was yelling back? So that might set up some kind of beef between Layla and Nyla, which would be very fun. And if they start really setting up feuds, like, that would be, you know, big improvement on what's currently happening, which is they just announce a match and then I just have to learn it.
I have to learn it. And I'm just forced to learn things.
And I love legit Layla Hirsch too, and her sports bra and everything. It's just like,
go ahead, Leah.
I was just gonna say, I'm so glad she got signed, because I actually didn't realize she wasn't signed until they announced it, and I was like, oh, but she's great. Why wasn't she signed earlier?
Why is, like, half the women's wrestlers that wrestle every week, like, not signed? I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask a question that I don't know that any of us can answer. What is the deal with Thunder Rosa?
I do know the answer to this, because I did look
Leah!
It up.
Yes.
Then wow. Thunder Rosa is still signed to NWA, and there's the other one. You know the
I don't
the
know. You're looking at us like you think we can fact check.
Okay.
We can.
Well, I can tell you that she has another year left on her contract with the other. You know, what's her face that looks like a yoga teacher, and she always comes out with the belt. And the belt is for another...
I literally did just think Sting.
Does he look like a yoga teacher?
To me.
I actually think this segment is going great.
Ellie's our resident Sting super fan, so...
I am, and I'm not ashamed of it. Proud of it.
I know. That's why I'm talking about it.
Well, the situation is that Thunder Rosa has another year with another company that has loaned her to AEW. She considers AEW her home, and she's basically, for all intents and purposes, an AEW wrestler, but nobody can say anything until this contract is up. And then the moment the contract ends, they think Tony's going to offer for her, but apparently it's illegal for him to talk to her about it at all.
Tony's going to offer for her is a Harlequin romance novel.
Tony will buy his wrestlers any other wrestlers that they want.
Okay. Ooh, it's getting a little too steamy in here for me.
And it was NWA. It's National Wrestling Alliance. That is what it was.
I don't think you have to Z-snap us, Leah. We weren't even saying it was wrong. We just couldn't tell you it was right.
I know, but I am very proud of myself, because I knew most of the facts that I said out loud.
I did discover something about myself during this match, which I kind of knew based on the PPV? Pay-per-view, PPV. I always want to say PVP instead. I love the ladder stuff. When they get ladders involved and they're getting slammed on the ladders, that's my bloodthirsty moment, where I'm just like, that looks like it genuinely does really hurt. Want to see more of it.
Yeah, again, stellar prop work in general. Like, I mean,
beautiful prop work.
Love it when they hit each other with other things, you know.
I know that in the world of wrestling, you're supposed to call them foreign objects, which I think is really fun. I wouldn't necessarily call it foreign object work, though. So I like prop work with the foreign objects.
Yeah, right.
Foreign object. That's interesting. It sounds weird. Foreign object. It sounds like if you go to the emergency room with, like, something in your body, that's what foreign object sounds like.
Well, I read a really fun little report when I was looking at a wrestling term glossary, where they were talking about some network back in the day where, like, the directive from overhead for the whole network well, not a wrestling network, they were just showing wrestling content sometimes, was clearly for news. They were like, don't use the word foreign, use the word international. But then it somehow got carried over to the wrestling shows. So they were just being like international objects, which I love.
That is beautiful.
That's amazing.
So fun. Yeah, I did. We did have one weird classic moment of commentary, I believe, from JR, who actually two classic moments that I'd love to highlight. One was where he said something like, I've never seen two women, two males, two anybodies.
I just said two. I
did
like,
hear that too.
At least he said males instead of like, he tends to say females, and it's like weird.
I know.
So it was like two women, two males, or anything.
I just know, like, it's kind of like, well, it's not right, but I guess it's fine. And then also at the end, both ladies are damaged goods.
Yeah, that was also extremely
that was crazy.
Weird.
To yeah. me, that's kind of a no, I'll say. But
you know, he's trying his hardest and he doesn't always get
he doesn't
there.
He doesn't always succeed. But he always seems to be having fun.
He does.
This wasn't offensive, but he did also say, I don't think I've seen a lights out unsanctioned match since the 70s, but like Kenny and John Moxley had done it like in the fall. You were there for that.
That's my kind of memory, you know? It's like, when could it have happened?
I know, it's like, what happened this year? You know I don't know. I did. There was something else I wanted to say. It's going to drive me crazy if I can't think of it, but whatever. Yeah, just a great match. Just
yeah.
the best.
Amazing. No notes yeah. for me.
No notes from me. Oh, I was going to say that I will, this kind of actually, this segs us into our next topic.
You're going to drive me crazy saying that all the time.
You want me to say it right?
I kind of do, yeah.
Okay, Anne would like me to correctly say this segues us into our next topic. And so I want us to talk about the Eddie Mox tag team match with the yes. good brothers. But before we get to that, I just want to very quickly say, Eddie, I'm going to want to talk about how Eddie and Mox sell hits. I think that Britt and Thunder Rosa both do what I would call technically a better job. and I think they did a really good job of looking like messed up and like
oh,
they
yeah.
were
yeah.
really taking a beating, which they were taking a beating, like I get it, but they sold really, really, really well.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
was so thrilled.
There weren't any moments with them where I was like, oh, it's funny that they're doing that to make me think they're hurt. I was just like, holy shit, the whole time. Whereas
yes,
several
exactly.
times in the Eddie Mox
yes.
tag match, I was like, oh, look at Mox kicking his little feet to try
I
to
know.
Convince me that he's hurt. Which is like
Chalk.
A move many of them do, but I don't quite know why, because it's always so hilarious. It's like a Flintstones foot kind of situation.
John Moxley always looks like he is doing a grease dance when he sells hits. He just, he's doing like, it's electric. I don't think that's from Grease. Maybe it is.
It is.
But
it is.
It is. It's like,
it is.
It's from, I got you. Okay.
Grease Lightning.
Grease Lightning, yeah. But he is always, the faces that he makes, John Moxley is a huge ham, and he's just like kind of getting away with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even talk because he's just cracks me up whenever he's just making the little agonized faces as he gets like kind of shoved into a rope sometimes. I very much enjoy it.
Yeah. So the Eddie Mox tag team match with the Good Brothers. Well, I was gonna set something up. They did a little skit at the beginning. Everything, it's like, it's prop work, it's skits, it's sketch comedy. They did a little sketch improv comedy about how little they like the Good Brothers, and Mox was really getting into his jokey comedy vibe, which we have not seen that much on AEW, because he's just been a loner. He's hanging out in the alleyways on his own. He's not coming out the tunnels.
Yeah, he like funny little boy just having a good time there, and it's really enjoyable. Like, he and Eddie have so much chemistry in their promos, and like when Eddie's like laughing at the stuff he's saying, it's just like extremely
yeah.
good.
Yeah, their little bit about Forky was very funny.
What?
The back and forth.
The bit about what?
Forky. That one of the good brothers looked like Forky.
Oh,
with the bulging eyes.
That.
Oh yeah,
I watched it, but I missed it.
Oh yeah.
Moxley was kind of ineptly like describing what he was talking about, and then Eddie was like Forky, and he went Forky. They I would watch 2 hours of the two of them in that creepy little room just like going back and forth. Like, easily I'd watch 2 hours of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, just two of the best talkers in AEW or possibly all of wrestling, but I wouldn't know. And, you know, it's just classic excellent stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the match was fine. I mean, not in a mean way, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah. Every match can't be a Thunder Rosa Britt Baker lights out match. It was fun, it was hammy, and it was setting up our little All Elite drama,
right?
Which I very much enjoyed watching play out. Which, if you told me from 2 months ago that I was going to enjoy watching Matt Jackson do his Mad Mom shtick on stage, I wouldn't have believed right. you, but of course, I loved it. Because I now love Matt Jackson.
Loved every second of it.
Yeah, the Young Bucks were like a definite slow burn for me, where for a long time watching AEW, I was like, I get it, they're flippy, but I don't really care about their problems. And I don't know, I mean, what has gotten into me, but every time Matt comes out and he's furious and tossing his hair.
He's got his little yeah. bun in, and it's like he's yelling at someone like, I've been waiting in the carpool lane for half an hour, where have you been?
It really is, and his little cross earring, and he and yeah. Nick both do very funny, like, angry faces of, yeah. like, that are and not quite, you're not really threatened by them, because they have such
no.
a youth pastor energy,
yeah.
you know?
Right.
So it's just, it's very hilarious.
And it's especially heightened, because the last two times they've had to come out and be, like, the chaperones getting people
yes,
to stop
yes.
smoking pot behind the back.
Know.
Like,
I don't want to see any more of this behavior from you guys around this place.
And it was very funny, too, because, like, the Good Brothers were, like, assaulting, like, Eddie and Mox, and they were in bad shape, and the Young Bucks run out to stop it, but they don't, like, hit them or anything. They're just like, guys, this isn't cool. Like, what are you doing?
I know.
Like, just having a little argument about it.
You gave them a little bit of a weenie voice, but the Good Brothers
yeah.
the Good Brothers did, like, their backs went straight, and they were like, oh, shit,
yeah.
Mom's here.
It was like, oh, no, the
Mom's mad.
The assistant vice principal caught us.
Mom's Matt.
wow, yeah, Galaxy Brain. You're
Galaxy
on to
Brain.
Something.
Yeah.
It was very funny in general seeing Eddie and Mox be guys who just, like, got beat to hell, like, the whole time, instead
yeah.
of, like, the little guys. Like, I'm used to, like, Orange Cassidy or Darby Allin getting, like, beat up for three
for
quarters
sure.
of the match or whatever, and it didn't quite work. I mean, I enjoyed it, like, don't get me wrong, but I felt like it was
sure.
weird with Eddie and Mox, because they're, like, they're usually, like, the big tough guys or whatever, and because their selling was a little bit hilarious, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, in a good way. It's like,
yeah,
not, it's really not a criticism from me. I'm like, I have
no.
the time of my life. Mox was getting into some he was like really doing some stomping, which I find really funny, like getting
yeah.
Good Brothers in the corner and stomping them. And he also was just like, he just does these faces where it looks like he's like crying out in pain, like just
yeah.
like, ah!
Yeah, it really is, like, you can see sometimes that they are, like, the theater boy. It's like Eddie Kingston loves Shakespeare, and it's like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh.
That's, like, the key to your whole character, your whole life,
yeah,
I feel like.
I
like, oh, I understand it now, yeah. But it is funny because, like, even, I don't know, with, like, the unsanctioned lights out match, it's like the world of wrestling is always, like, it's like they're just rival gangs who, like, beat each other up before the real matches where, like, the refs are in charge of things or whatever, but they're, like, West Side Story gangs, you know, where it's just, like, yeah.
I will say I loved, I mean, Kenny as a heel has really been good Kenny for me.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
good Kenny content. He's
yeah.
not good. He's bad. He's bad. He's a heel, but.
Right. I'm really concerned
just,
for him.
Of course, I'm worried for him, but he comes out dancing in his little outfit with his little jacket with the pink lining, where
yeah.
immediately I see it, and I'm like, Kenny Omega, broom guy dancers now. We need them.
That's, yeah, true. Yeah, please.
And I actually think I'm going to say it, sickening that Tony Khan has not brought some male cheerleaders out to dance
yeah.
for Kenny yet.
Hell yeah.
I think Kenny would do it. Kenny would do it in a second.
Yeah.
Pray to God. I have been thinking nonstop. This is not on top. It's on topic of Kenny Omega. I've been thinking nonstop about the reports that Kenny Omega was so mad about those sparklers. I don't know why. I just can't stop thinking about just Kenny being actually furious, because it's like, what is under the little mask of Kenny Omega? It's impossible for me to imagine. True.
Trying to imagine his real emotions is very like,
interesting.
Yeah, and he's such like a little dweeb anyway. The heel turn for Kenny has been so entertaining, because it's like... Right. Like, he's very hateable right now, but in a fun way. Like, I feel like
totally fun way.
Him and MJF right now are really fun to hate, whereas like Matt Hardy and the Good Brothers, like, I hate, but I also don't enjoy them.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. So it's like, in a way, it's like, Matt Hardy, you're a good heel because I can't stand you, but also I don't want you on my screen. So like, that's a not so good. But like, but Kenny, his outfit changes since he has done the heel thing, his little dancing, his weird like douchebag attitude. And he's really done it in a way too. And I think the Don Callis stuff has really helped with this, where you're it does feel like he's a friend of yours who's like made some bad friends and you're kind of worried about him. Like, it feels like a realistic, like, I don't know, maybe in like a, like on the For OC sure. or a teen show or something, where you're like, yeah, we're all pretty worried about the influences on Kenny, you know?
And you're right that it is a 3-episode arc on the OC, where it's just like, Seth, you don't have to hang out with these guys.
They're not really your friends.
They don't like you. I do think Don Callis is great. It's the kind of thing where it's like, I kind of feel like I could go on Twitter and someone would really... tell me I'm a moron for liking the Don Callis stuff, but I love it. I think it's so fun.
Well, and he's so funny sometimes. Like, some of the things he says are just like hilarious. None of them are springing to mind now.
Well, and it's very funny that because he's like visiting from Impact, the commentators are so
they
are so funny. When they said Don Callis is a boil on the buttocks of society this week, I lost my mind. They don't say that stuff about the AEW heels. I mean, they'll kind of be like, that's mean, but because Don Callis isn't in-house, they are brutal to him.
It's so funny. They're like, he's a pond scum on the face of humanity and stuff. Like, they said so many things this week where I was just like, very funny.
Yeah. And hearing hate in Tony Schiavone's voice makes me so happy, because it doesn't feel natural, and yet I love it.
Yeah,
absolutely. I will say, this actually is, I'm so sorry, I gotta jump back and just throw in, I love that during the Lights Out match, Tony Schiavone stayed in character as Britt Baker's friend and was just being like, we've been friends for a long time and I hate to see her like this. I was like, Britt Baker is such a great heel on this show, and I love that you're just like, but she's my buddy.
But then towards the end, he was like, we've been friends a long time, but I've seen some things tonight that makes me really worried.
Yeah, but I am pretty excited to see how the All Elite arcs are gonna play out, which is kind of shocking for me to say, because as I said I really wasn't interested a couple months ago. I think, again, not to reference twitter.com, but sometimes I see people being like, I'm not that interested. I am interested, I'll say it freely, openly.
The show that I'm a fan of, I enjoy what's happening on it.
No problem saying it. I like watching them, and I'm excited to watch Kenny get his comeuppance, and I think I like that they're setting it up from a lot of corners right now. Everyone is kind of coming for the crown with Kenny. Yeah. Christian is coming for the crown. There was somebody else this week that I was just like, Miro. They're trying to say Miro's coming for the crown.
Right.
So I like that everyone is gunning for Kenny. That's pretty fun for me.
Yeah. That is.
And he's really like riding high, like where you're ready for him to get taken down. Absolutely.
And you know what? It's like, if someone wants to kind of like kiss him back to life, that would, it's like, not that I want to see Kenny Omega do kissing, but I'm just saying there's a path and someone could save him with love. That's all.
If they're playing like a long game with him and Hangman, I mean, I think they could pull it off. I want better for Hangman, but I do think it could be a compelling storyline. So
if they made up, but if Hangman doesn't get that belt from him, I'm gonna lose my shit.
I mean, that really that would be a really great little turn.
Hangman has proved to us that he's into the long-term storylines, even the small ones,
right?
So let's get that payoff.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of Miro, let's do a quick check-in on our long running feud of Miro, Kip, and Penelope versus Trent, Chuck, and OC. Miro turned down their video game arcade smash match, and Kip accepted it for him. We seem to have some stuff brewing in the storyline beyond just hopefully Greg coming back. So what do people think?
Yeah, it's been weird. Like, Miro's whole thing with Penelope, where he's clearly, like, trying to marginalize her, is very, like, do you want Kip for yourself? Like, what's going on here?
I will say there's a real thing where I'm like, when you had Chuck as a butler, that seemed, I'm sorry to say it, sexual. And now the sexuality of it seems to be permeating other areas of the plot line. You and Kip have a little something weird going on.
There's a lot of sexual menace coming off of Miro in general.
Absolutely, yes.
And he's just aiming it everywhere.
Except
at women, really only at men.
That's true.
Women are just the ones he wants to get rid of, it seems like, so he can
menace the men more effectively.
Right.
Yeah.
That seems to be what's going on. It's not a goal I'm not a fan of. Like, I find that admirable. I do think that more men should be menaced.
As I'm always saying, men menacing men.
Oh, yeah. That's the good stuff. And I will say, like, too, when this whole storyline started, I was very, like, whatever about Miro. Like, I hadn't seen that much of him or whatever. But I really, like, I'm enjoying watching him. Like, he has a lot of charisma, and it's been good for me.
It's really interesting. I think the three of us can say that we all started watching AEW for Best Friends in OC, and in this match, we have gotten very bored with it, except that our opinion of Miro has gone way up.
Yeah. I will say that I don't really understand, like, what AEW wants me to feel about Miro, kind of. Maybe I will understand more after, I don't know. I guess I just don't know what's going to happen to him after this. Like, they've set him up to this point where he's, like, going crazy. The commentators are talking a lot about how insane he is. He had that, I think it was Elevation. He was on Elevation this week. He had a match that was kind of setting up, like, that he was, like, really calling the shots on, like, Kip's wrestling a lot and, you know, shoving Penelope out of the ring. I guess I just don't really know where we're going, which, you know, can be fun, but I don't even really have any guesses.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. But, I mean, I think he's shown that he has enough charisma that for now I'm kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt, where I'm like, go ahead, take me with you. Where are we going?
For sure. I think it is that I feel like I'm just like, you've been stuck in a real small cage in this feud.
Yeah.
Let's get you out into, I'd love to see, like, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'd love to see a little Miro versus Lance Archer match. That would be unhinged.
That would be feral. Yeah.
That would be crazy.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do think that there's a large chance that Trent is going to come back for this match. I mean, the timing really works out. It makes sense. Like,
he has to.
That's the only thing I can think of, is that he is, like, going to come back. Like, maybe they're going to be getting their asses beat again, and then he's going to come in at the very end.
Yeah. I will be absolutely shocked if Trent does not come back for this match. I won't be shocked if Trent comes back and immediately breaks his kid again. So we'll see if he holds up. But
ugh. I mean, it continues to be frustrating to me that AEW won't use wrestlers when they're injured. I think Trent has consistently posted Insta stories that suggest he's in Jacksonville, and then we saw him in the back of that video of Britt and Thunder Rosa walking through the crowd. So he was there. And so I continually just be like, Tony, you can show him to me even if he doesn't wrestle. That's okay.
I know. I do kind of love the idea that, like, Trent in character is like, I can't let them see me with my broken boob.
My beauty. My one beauty.
My one beauty. Or one of my two beauties. I can't let them see my poor damaged pepperoni nipple.
You know what? If he said that to me, I would forgive him. If that was the reason, I would absolutely forgive him.
Of course I'd forgive him everything. I'll forgive Trent anything. I love him. What did he like? The crazy? Oh, it wasn't crazy. I mean, well, I can't even get into it, actually. I love watching what he's getting up to online. That's all I'll say. OK, Okay, so I think that is kind of all the big stuff that I know we wanted to cover. Does anybody have a favorite moment of the week outside of the stuff we already discussed?
So one thing I noticed that I really liked was some of the inner circle stuff has been fun with all the, not, I mean, ex-inner circle now, but all the multiple therapy sessions that they've had on our televisions have been great. And then
almost the only thing that inner circle has done, which I love.
They just like have a nice little family talk about their feelings session like every week and don't wrestle very often, which honestly, I love it.
I admire them.
Yeah, but this week when MJF, he did his little spiel, and it went on for probably a little bit too long. But
it was a little too long.
It was a little too long. But he's very charismatic and entertaining. And, like, I felt like the booing was a lot louder this week than sometimes. Like, I was really noticing it. I don't know if they had, like, more people there or if the, like, talent on the sidelines were just, like, really getting into it or what. But it was just, like, it's been weird to get into wrestling, like, during the no live crowd era. Like, I feel like I have a really like weird like perception of it because of that, but it's just really fun to boo people, I think. Like, I think that's something we don't get enough in our regular lives. And actually the first almost never before I even liked wrestling, like my little brother watched it growing up and then is into it now, and it was always like, yeah, I don't get it, that's nice though, like I'm glad you're having a good time. But then like I watched that show Glow on Netflix and it was like, I like the show, I still don't get wrestling. But then there was a part where I think two black wrestlers, they unexpectedly got their tag team rivals to come in full KKK gear. And whoa, the audience, yeah, it's like a very intense moment. You're like, oh no. And like the live audience in their little tiny show, like clearly has the same reaction where they're like, this is like not cool. But then the audience sort of slowly starts booing them and then gets really into it. And it like really pops. And that was the first moment I was ever like, oh, I understand wrestling. Like, it's really fun to boo like a really broad villain, you know?
Yeah, right.
Hey, it's about life.
Yeah, it's like I actually would love to just boo the KKK for like 10 minutes, you know, in a big crowd also booing them. Like, yeah, I get that appeal. And I think like the MJF moment this week really brought that out for me again, where I was like, oh yeah. It'd be fun to boo MJF in person for sure.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And especially when he's working his, I like Britt Baker was doing this too, when he's working his camera angles and he's getting up in the camera and delivering it to the camera, and he was doing a lot of like real direct address stuff. I agree, it went on for a little bit too long, but he is so good at it. So good at that.
Honestly, he brought up how young he is a lot, but it is bananas that he's like 24 or whatever. Like, it's to have that amount of like confidence and charisma, it's like, good for you, bud.
And I have to say, his line about how Chris Jericho's pecs are too like far apart was just perfect.
I made a little note. I said he's really going in on Chris Jericho's bot.
Pretty
savage.
Says some really mean things sometimes that actually like do get you very like, oh God, are you allowed to say, like, you know, just calling children, like literal children, ugly and stuff on Twitter.
Absolutely. He's unhinged on Twitter, and it is a thing where every time it's like I'm like the cancel police, where I'm like, oh my God, MJF, you can't say that.
I know.
He's saying it on purpose, and it is his shtick. We gotta take a step back.
He's in character. Maybe I want to be a heel, and then you can just say anything.
I found out from reading somebody's replies that apparently public wrestling Twitter regularly calls him Max to avoid him vanity searching, because they don't want him to reply.
Nice.
Like, good luck finding me now, Max. I'm safe from your insults. You can't hurt me.
Oh, man.
The other moment that I want to discuss briefly is how funny it was when Brian Cage grabbed the mic to be like, guys, let's put some respect on Sting's name.
That was very funny. It was kind of like the moment on 30 Rock when Kenneth is really drunk and like mad at them, and you think he's gonna like rant, but then he's like, I love you, and just says really nice things.
Yeah. Like, the look on Taz's face was perfect. Him and Ricky Starks had like the perfect outrage on their faces. I enjoyed that so much.
I think AEW does a really great job of some high quality comedy really in their shows, like, you know, good for them.
They definitely are always managing to work it in, which I love.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I didn't really have the only thing that I have written down here for my favorite moment of the week is the quote, "Darby moving a little gingerly. We certainly understand why." Which I don't know that we need to discuss, but I thought to myself, wow, on TNT.
He's got a little limp.
Yeah, I love when Darby comes out in his little his little mesh shirts, and I love his whole thing with Sting, and
I do desperately want him and Sting to adopt Thunder Rosa into their little face paint cult, because I just think that would be fun.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Tony Khan, intergender now. We want intergender now. I think that's all I have for the week. Any thoughts from the peanut gallery?
I think that's good.
Yeah, we covered it.
I've been Allie.
And I've been Anne.
And I'm Leah.
And this has been Tunnel Talk. You can find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're confident about where you can find us. Spent like hours discussing how to get it onto Apple Podcasts, but who knows?
I believe you'll find that we can be found on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll
whatever.
Do we want to redo that?
Nailed it! Yes! Okay. Since nobody liked what I did, I haven't listened to a podcast in years. I don't commute anymore, so please rate, review, and subscribe us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought that was great.
Yeah,
that was great.
Thank you so much.
No notes.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.